Welcome to the Bogosity Podcast for the 6th of October 2014, the podcast that spells relief. This is your host, Shane Killian, and joining me again this week are Charles Thomas and Travis Retriever. Guys, welcome back to the show.
Hello.
It's good to be back, Shane.
So let's exfoliate the news of the bogus. So you know why we have government? Because there are just things we shouldn't leave to profit mongers, like water. I mean, can you imagine if you had your water shut off just because you couldn't pay the bill?
Everyone's been there, Shane, but you know, the government tries to help people.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be pretty terrible. I mean, I'm on a septic system. We couldn't even flush our toilets.
Yeah, I mean, you're on the government water system. You don't pay and they shut you off. So how is it better?
Yeah.
And this first story comes from the most socialist city in the U.S. and America's first failed city as well, Detroit.
Of course.
Yeah, we've talked about them before.
Yeah, even Glove and Boots made fun, like, yeah, no, top two list of things to do in Detroit, no. Yeah, number three would be get mugged, and number one would be move away from Detroit.
Oh, goodness. Detroit. It's sad. You know, I honestly thought Detroit, you know, those Robocop movies, I thought, oh, Detroit can never get that bad. And honestly, when I look in reality and see how it is right now, it might be even worse.
Yes. Sad but true.
Yeah, well, they went bankrupt and that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is the city is trying to shut off water to delinquent customers. They've been trying for 6 months and they've been appealing it in the court. Well, bankruptcy judge Stephen Rhodes said that the city could shut it off and he took the block away. Because Detroit can't afford to lose the revenue. They need that money.
Of course. I mean, even though they failed multiple times, of course they need money.
Oh, but this isn't profit. It's for the common good. Give me a break, guys. Please.
Yeah,
so what he said was that a six-month ban on water shutoffs, which is what they want, would boost the rate of customer defaults and threaten Detroit's revenue. The last thing Detroit needs is this hit to its revenues.
Of course.
What? I mean, they can't just go from the other side and go and attack and reduce spending? Oh, but that would mean hitting their pensions and whatnot, too. So, you know, next time.
Oh, yeah. They can't, yeah.
They've cut it to the bone!
Except for their pensions, because they need to make the money. Even though they fail countless and countless times, they still have to make the paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, these are selfless public servants you're talking about. Never let me hear you say that.
Yes, who typically make more money, have more benefits, have more off-time, and less chance of getting fired than their private counterparts. Oh, but, you know, that doesn't count because, you know, reasons.
All they need to say now is tell the populace to just tell them, let them eat cake at this point.
Yeah, pretty much. Oh,
or, I don't know, maybe let them drink beer or something. Awesome as that would be. God.
It is. It's okay for me, but it's not good for anyone else. Meanwhile, they're probably drinking and bathing and doing all the other stuff that, you know, they can't sacrifice. They can't do that. I mean, it's up to the people in Detroit who are hurting. People are suffering, and they respond with, well, you know, it's their fault. No, it's, when are the people going to start putting these politicians, putting them in their place? Why is it the public, the majority of people have to suffer while a couple of the elites have to sit there and be like, well, we are suffering with you. Okay, while they go back to their mansions, their high security, and their luscious water.
And of course, these are the same people defending this crap that will be all, well, you hate the poor, you want to see them without water. Yeah, avoid the mirror, guys. Seriously.
Yeah. Well, and we can throw brickbats at the other side, too. Alice Jennings is the attorney representing the 10 residents who are fighting the shutoff, and she said, quote, "We will be looking at an appeal. We believe there is a right to water, and there is a right to affordable water."
Oh, man. As soon as I read this, it reminded me of the healthcare debate. Well, we have a right to healthcare, right to affordable, I mean, free, I mean, healthcare from the sky, etc. I mean, it's like, good grief.
Well, you know, they're talking about affordable water. I know when I want to make something affordable, the first thing I think to do is put it all in the hands of a violent monopoly. Yeah, that'll make it affordable.
Yeah.
Like how they did with Pepco around here. Travis, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, God, yeah.
Now, what's Pepco?
Oh, Pepco is this huge gas and electric company that somehow, but they basically finagled their way to, you know, to help the politicians, to basically be the only ones to cover everyone in Maryland and, you know, the whole, and such.
Where I live, it's SMACO. I think it's like Southern Maryland, I think it was like Electric Co-op, Electricity Co-op or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got a co-op here, too.
And, of course, reminds me of one of my professors trying to defend this stuff, saying, oh, but you need this because if they don't, you know, it'll cause stuff with prices or, you know, just some other really tired BS that's long been refuted by the Mises Institute and others about how, oh, but we need this monopoly because if we don't, there'll be natural monopolies. Or, oh, well, it's a natural monopoly. Yeah, so we need to give GovCo control.
If it's a natural monopoly, why do you need to pass a law making it a monopoly?
Yeah, it makes no sense.
Yeah. No kidding.
Yeah, but I mean, the one we have here is a co-op, and it's a, oh, well, that's great, because it's like, we all own the power company. Well, you know what? They don't treat us like owners. They don't even treat us like customers.
Exactly.
They just do what they want. They just raise their rates. You know, my power bill's almost $300 a month now.
Yeah, it sounds like about what it is here, too.
Yeah, they raise the rates and have crappy service. Supposedly, well, 20 years ago, they said, this is my area, they said they're going to have all the power lines though run underground and such, so it would be easier to fix the problems. And if snow or a rain, you know, would knock down power cords, it was like, okay, we'll make sure that people will not have power and all that stuff. And all that type of thing.
Don't even get me started on the knocked out power stuff. To give you an idea, I swear every time the wind blows, the power goes out. Often either a shutter or a flicker or for hours. It went out when it was just lightly raining last week and my dad nearly threw out his back, like trying to get our damn generator out.
Yeah, ours claims to have such great reliability that the power is only out for a total of 3 hours a year. It's out for 3 hours at a time.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
And I mean, I have basically every electronic device I have that actually costs money is hooked up to a UPS. And, you know, they protect you from the power going out. They protect you from the surges and the brownouts and all that other stuff. And they beep whenever that happens to let you know what happens. And I'm just walking around and then doing something. Then everything just suddenly beep, you know, oh, something happened. They messed up our power again. And then later on the day, beep, oh, happened again. It just terrible power. Terrible.
Well, such is what happens when you give it into the control of a violent monopoly.
Well, getting back to the story, they say 24,000 city water accounts have been shut off this year, and a month-long moratorium halting the shutouts is ended, and they're now shutting off up to 400 accounts a day.
Holy cow.
And I'm assuming an account is like a house, because that's what you do. You have the water going to your house. So every day, 400 fewer houses have water.
Shameful.
And people are suffering, and people respond to suffering as well. You know, this stuff happens because of governments, and the people who defend them, it's because of one party. No, it's a system that is internally corrupt and such. The system itself has proven to elect to have these people who are corrupt, and they need to flush these people out.
Also, reality check. To the status listening and watching to this, admit it, if something like this happened to you with a private company, you'd hit the ceiling.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, they would go crazy.
Well, it's kind of like when that one fire department in Kentucky, I think it was, whatever it was, and they said, well, they hadn't paid their taxes, so we're going to let them burn to the ground. And, you know, all the usual suspects, P.Z. Myers and all those, went, see, that's what happens when you have a free market. Everyone all, oh, you see, they had a free market fire department. They let it burn. And everyone started coming out. No, that's the city fire department being paid for by the city and following the city ordinance. And you notice how they shut up after that.
Yeah, but, you know, it's the kooky libertarians who are all knee-jerk reactions, nary's her der. Yeah. Once again, avoid the mayor.
All I say is Detroit, you know, the people in Detroit better get some better representation, because if not, a lot of people are going to be more suffering ahead.
Just shut down the government. Just shut it down.
It's already bankrupt.
And not like the fake shutdown that happened about several months ago. Oh, yeah, well, yeah, but you still have to pay our taxes, but we just don't get to do stuff like that. Oh, we still have money for war. Yeah, give me a break, guys.
Bogosity.tv and all of its services are hosted at GoDaddy. I've been very satisfied with GoDaddy's services and their wonderful 24/7 customer support for over 10 years now. So I'm happy to be able to give you this special offer. Just sign up for any new domain, web hosting, email, or other service and get 35% off with the code WOWNOBOGON. That's WOWNOBOGON. Because there's nothing bogus about these savings on quality internet hosting. Just go to GoDaddy.com and use the code WOWNOBOGON. Well, I have a real shock for you guys. College textbooks are expensive.
Really?
No, you don't say.
I have an even bigger shock. Students have been downloading them from the Pirate Bay instead.
Le shock and le horror.
If only someone could have predicted that. Yes, not just the Pirate Bay, but all sorts of pirate sites. There's even one called Textbook Nova. That's a pirate site just for textbooks.
Yeah, because people are like, they look at the cost. They're like, we can't afford this. Even with financial aid, we can't afford this.
Well, I remember, you know, late 80s and early 90s, how expensive they were then. And they've just gotten worse, and I don't know if these figures are adjusted for inflation, so I'll give you the inflation figures, too. But the average student, this is according to the College Board, the average student spends $1,200 annually on textbooks.
Wow.
The price of books rose 82% between 2002 and 2013, and during that same period, inflation was 29% compared to 82%.
Mm.
And over the last 30 years, textbook prices have risen 800%. Inflation over the same period was 234%.
That's good grief.
And now 65% of students are electing not to buy textbooks. Even if they don't download them from the Pirate Bay, they just don't buy them, even knowing that it's going to hurt them academically.
I can't say I blame them. Of course, I was one of those suckers who actually went and bought them, but then I had financial aid and stuff, which sort of, like, gave us money back for that, so, you know, yeah.
It just, a lot of people are hurting right now. They're like, okay, I can go in and find something for free, help me learn, help me do all this type of stuff, instead of, like, you know, getting all stressed out. They're stressed out because for books and everything. I know, personally, I go to PG Community College, a lot of people just stop going. Because they can't afford. They're saying, I can't afford to continue going to this class. Because the books, they get yelled at the professor and say, hey, why didn't you get the book? Because it costs too much. They got to go dip in their own pockets. It's stuff like this.
Yeah, I don't know if I've told this story on the podcast before, but my mom is a child of the Depression. Her mom had her as a 16-year-old single mom, and she was from a poor farming family. And she was able to save up what she did. She got her cosmetology license and, you know, just worked there to raise my mom and save up whatever she could. And then my mom was able to do some work in college and do that. And just from what her mom was able to save up and from what she was able to get just working, she was able to get her math degree without going into debt.
That's crazy.
I mean, try doing that today.
Yeah, even if you, unless you get a scholarship, you're boned.
Oh, yeah.
You have to get like two or three jobs just to do it. My older brother is working, working at a restaurant for his stuff right now. It's like, you know, it's sad. He comes home late at night, and then he has to go to school and all this type of stuff just to get at least not only books, but also the classes and everything else. And it's a shame.
And if he commutes, then that's gas and just, you know, stress and energy to get to take that. You know, tuition. And of course, in my case, whether if you're commuting or even living on campus, that's still going to be a fun experience because they'll try to rake you up across the hole with that as well.
Yeah. I mean, I love education and I go to college right now and I'm trying to improve and, you know, get stuff like that, you know, try to help myself out. But at some point, you just got to realize some people are like, you know, even people who do want to learn, they're going to be like, why am I going to continue flushing my financial security down the toilet to go to this place? You know, at the end of the day, I will end up in so much debt that I can't have a family, that I can't even, no, it's not a piss poor job, that that is beneath my talents, which I have no shame with, because, you know, I worked with my hands and such. There's no shame in that. But, you know, you sit there with minimum wage, barely trying to pay off all this other stuff. And by the time you do pay it off, and by the time you do get that job, you're still going to be in debt, even more debt.
Yeah, and it's so bad that if you got a student loan to pay for all 4 years of your college tuition, even at a state-supported college, that's a debt of like $150,000 to $200,000. People are graduating with a homeowner's loan, but no home.
Man, I must have got really lucky then by comparison. Since my debt was, I'll say it. It was around $23,000. Of course, I was at least somewhat smarter and tried to go for a community college 2 of those years.
I'd say right I'm going. But again, even with that, $23,000 that's a lot of money right there. And people who are there, like, you know what, that could hurt them.
And not to mention stressful it was. I mean, to give you an idea, I gained 100 pounds during college and ended up with issues in my jaw, specifically the tendons connecting my jaw to my, to the rest of my skull, I think called my TMJ, and ended up having to go through a fun experience with state-supported insurance and being bounced around trying to get help for that. So, of course, that was fun. Just because of the stress. Needless to say, of course, I'm so going to maybe get a master's. Yeah, not a chance in hell. I did my time in college. I want that part of my life gone, and I'm glad that chapter is over. Okay, granted, I saw the debt itself to work out, but regardless of what she says about, it's like a mortgage, just pay it off slowly and steadily. No, I've heard the stories from Shane and others who've actually been on that kind of stuff. Yeah, I'm going to knock that out as soon as I can. I'm just glad that I had enough sense to get into something, STEM-related, specifically electrical engineering, which tends to have a somewhat better rate of return, though. So, yeah.
Yeah, so getting back to the story, the thing about textbooks is, I mean, people are downloading movies on the Pirate Bay and they're just, hundreds of megabytes and even gigabytes. A book, if you download it in text form, isn't that big. It's just megabytes or maybe dozens of megabytes. If it's the scanned pages and it's like, one graphic per page, it might get 200 megabytes. And that's it. I mean, these are nothing to download. It happens in no time. It's really hard to catch them because you get on, you download it, and you get off again. So this is only going to happen more and more.
It's going to continue till, honestly, we find a solution to this problem.
Yeah, and of course it was fun. A physics professor I had at College of Southern Maryland, and I'm sure Duke Pauline knows what I'm talking about. Basically him defending the really high textbook prices while saying, like, well, the people who write it have got to eat. Yes, and far be it from me to get in the way of their caviar and fine champagne.
The people who are, doing it, keep downloading. Because at that point, I think it would be better off if you do. I might have to tell some of the people who are struggling, just go in Pirate Bay, you'll find it.
Or even better, link them this article, and you'll give them a whole bunch of places they can go to.
Oh yeah, they list a whole bunch of them.
And honestly, there'd be a lot less stress going on, which, even now, man, if you take the less classes, college is really stressful.
Yeah, didn't you hear? The 4-year college degree, it's a new high school diploma.
History is written by the winners, and so apparently is economics. That's why there's LibertyClassroom.com. Probably the best single learning resource for history and economics on the web, LibertyClassroom.com teaches U.S. history, Western Civ, and economics from actual university professors. There's lots of free material to get you started, including introductory lectures on all these subjects. And when you sign up, you get the full site's content for just $99 a year, less than the price of 2 cups of coffee a month. And if you type in the promo code BOGOSITY in all caps, you'll get your first year for just $88. Lectures are available in both video and audio format, so you can watch or listen to them on your computer, your phone or tablet, or in your car. Learn at your own pace about the subjects you're interested in and become a more effective debater. You'll also get access to lots of supplemental materials and even the professors themselves via the discussion forum and even live video chats. Inform yourself against the myths and propaganda of our society. Visit LibertyClassroom.com. But I reiterate, we do need government because without government, who would protect the consumer? How would the consumer be assured that the product they bought was safe and effective and that they knew what they were getting?
Can maybe some good old-fashioned consumer service? Question mark.
Well, the Darknet has actually done a very good job of answering this question. And the Darknet is kind of like the super secret place on the internet. It usually refers to websites on the Tor network. And what the Tor network is, it's basically a network of computers that just send encrypted packets back and forth. And the idea is you connect to the Tor network, you send out all your requests encrypted, it bounces around the Tor network, it goes through three nodes, and then you have the exit node that goes to the website. And the idea is that the website doesn't know who you are. And no one else, you know, watching the traffic knows who you are, unless you do something like, you know, log into your email account or something like that and they can see. But the thing is, by setting up this secret encrypted network, they figured out how to actually put websites in it so you can make requests to these websites without leaving the encrypted network, such that it's pretty much impossible to tell who's going to these websites and what they're doing. And that's what the Darknet is. And we talked about Silk Road before. That was a website on the Tor network where you could get drugs and things like that. And we talked about how they came in and shut it down. And it was like less than a month for the Silk Road 2.0 to come back up. And
okay, I gotta say something now. This reminds me of an article way back when by David Wong of Crack.com talking about how, well, if anonymity or whatever is in social networking is the way of Web 2.0, then Web 3.0 will be the end of anonymity as we know it, with laws and stuff passed to me. Make that impossible.
Laws don't make things impossible. Look at the war on drugs.
Yeah, well, my point is that this Tor stuff and other things, methinks this is going to be the answer to that. And if things keep up, well, I mean, I'm no techie myself, but I wouldn't be surprised to see this the next step as Web 3.0, you know?
Well, when Silk Road was shut down, there were just, like, a few of them. Now there's over 30 of these marketplaces and this Ars Technica article mentioned several of them, like Pandora, Outlaw Market, all sorts of things. And, I mean, people buy and sell stuff there, and you can do almost anything. I think the only thing most of them restrict is child pornography. But, I mean, people even buy and sell legal stuff there that they just want to buy and sell privately without anyone knowing what they're doing. But, of course, the big thing everyone's buying on these is drugs. And this is just completely reshaping how people buy drugs. Because when you go to the street vendor, you know, and get some marijuana or whatever, you know, that street vendor is basically part of a violent monopoly. You know, that's a drug cartel or a gang or whatever, and they fight each other for their territory. And you don't know what you're getting. You don't know if it's really the stuff. You don't know how potent it is. You don't know how much of it is the cutting agent. You don't know what it's cut with. You know, it might not even be the drug you want. It might be a completely different drug, and that's how people end up overdosing and dying from all these weird drug cocktails and things like that.
And, of course, with the drug wars, using that as evidence, we'll see that drugs are dangerous. This is why we have to keep them outlawed and yada, yada, yada. Circular reasoning.
Exactly. But this is a lot more of a free market. Silk Road 2.0 has almost 900 drug vendors to choose from, selling heroin, opium, cocaine, acid, prescription drugs, all sorts of things. And so you think, well, you don't know what you're getting. You don't know who these people are. They're anonymous. You don't know who they are. They don't know who you are. How do you know that you're not getting something dangerous? Well, because even though people are anonymous, they set up a fake name, and they use that same fake name the whole time and build up a reputation with that name. And so everyone goes and reviews these different vendors and all the different people with these names. And it's kind of like on eBay, you know, where you give positive feedback and things like that. That's what it is.
Reminds me of a lot of the furry fandom as well, since it's actually very rare for us furs to, like, use a real name. Usually we'll, like, pick a fake name, often the name of maybe our primary persona or whatever, and often just build a reputation from there. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But this is interesting because, you know, it just shows you that there is the free market and everything. It seems like it does seem to work because even with the anonymous stuff, people who even get screwed and such, they say, don't buy this guy. And, you know, it lowers their reputation. And people who want to buy this, who want to go out and everything else, they'll find the good ones, and that's it. It doesn't have any violence. No one gets killed, murdered. No one goes to jail for the most part. No fuss, no muss.
Yeah, and it's just the fact that there are so many different options to choose from. If there's someone that, you know, people don't like and they start posting negative reviews who say that and go, well, I'm going to go with one of the hundreds of other options. And so they all want to be the best. They all want to give you quality product at a good price. And it actually says in the article that a lot of times they charge more than you can buy on the street, but people are willing to pay that because that's how much this assurance is worth to them, and they're very polite in their customer service, very prompt. You know, they're competing with each other for your business, and they have to compete on that basis.
So basically, consumer service-wise, they're a lot better than state-run monopolies, like the power companies, Comcast, anyone. And a whole bunch of others I'm sure we could all name. iTwitch.
I don't know, Destiny. But who cares about that game? But anyway, this is actually very good. It's no fuss, no muss, and it shows, and I will be sharing the story to many people and such, friends, family, or what have you, and it will show that the war on drugs is complete BS. It's sad that we have a dark net people who are anonymous actually showing more morals and more morals and more common sense than the supposed leaders and the people we elect. Not to say there aren't any bad, there's some good ones out there, but even though this stuff is an easy, viable solution, a nonviolent solution, they will tear it down, they will use force and violence, and it will basically hurt so many more lives instead of actually helping people.
It reminds me of a bit from Tom Woods noting, could it be that despite all of the status noble and pious talk, that they may just be very well motivated by just baseline jealousy and some pathological need to control and dominate others?
Say it ain't so. Yeah, but there are ways to cheat. You know, you can make a sock account and post good reviews to your store, bad reviews to other stores, or even pay people to make good or bad reviews, you know, kind of like what we were talking about with Yelp. But these guys are really good at rooting out these sock accounts, and these people are paying and going, hey, don't trust this guy's reviews, and you trace it back to the guy behind it, and their reputation just goes down the tubes. So it's very self-policing, and it works amazingly well. It's not perfect, but man, is it good.
But the market can't regulate itself! What did you think, that's magic or something? I had to say it.
Well, and one of the things that people are worried about is, of course, how do you pay? Because you generally pay through Bitcoin. You can't reverse a Bitcoin transaction, so how's that going to happen if you don't get the thing you ordered or it's not the right thing or whatever? How do you demand a refund? And they had a problem, actually, with site administrators. They would hold on to the buyer's money until the transaction was complete. And then once the transaction went through, they'd let it through. But a lot of these administrators were kind of running off with the money. So what they did was they developed a multi-sig escrow. And what happens is you have the transaction, you have the buyer, you have the seller, and then you have the third-party escrow. The money gets transferred whenever any two of these sign off on the transaction.
Wow.
And so that works a lot better. And that way the third party can't run off with the money or anything.
Yeah, that's good. And by the way, I actually looked at the comments. Another, don't worry. It's not bad or anything. But this is actually a good one. This is right here, mostly dangerous. It says the government calls these stores illegal because A, they're not getting the cut. That really makes them mad. B, big pharma lobbies them, kind of crying about her profits. C, making things illegal gives them more power. D, it's a great smokescreen. Let the plebs discuss pros and cons about a ridiculous concept. Some mafia telling you what you can do to your own body. Open markets equal true freedom. If someone wants to sell me an item, then I should be able to pay for it as long as all parties involved are willing. The government needs to stop wasting taxpayer money taken by force under the threat of violence, slight hypocrisy, on this ever-failing war on drugs. See, we can find good comments on the internet.
And I gotta say, I was really glad to see this article just because, I mean, it just was so inspiring, like, to see this huge push forward for things like privacy. You know, I mean, just all this, you know, stuff with the NSA and other stuff. Basically, it's like finding a pearl in a turd. That is what some will call the real world, you know? It's just one of those things that gives you hope for the future.
Hackers, terrorists, the NSA. But I repeat myself. Your online security is under attack, and the weakest point is your password. That's why you need LastPass. LastPass plugs into your browser and allows you to randomly generate strong, unique passwords anywhere on the web, all protected by one master password. LastPass sets up in minutes and gives you secure automatic logins throughout the web, synchronizing across all your browsers and all your computers, at home, at work, or on the road. It even securely stores sensitive form data, including credit card numbers. Backup sensitive documents, membership info, Wi-Fi logins, and more. And with LastPass Premium, you can get these benefits on other applications and even mobile devices, and also get priority customer support. Sign up at password.pagosity.tv for a free month of LastPass Premium. Log in securely everywhere using the last password you'll ever have to remember. Go to password.pagosity.tv and get LastPass now.
So, government's still trying to figure out what to do about drones. Not Obama's fleet of flying killer robots, they're fine with that apparently, but they don't like people using drones to take aerial pictures. Even though it means that complex shots like that are, for the first time, affordable to independent filmmakers. But, I mean, there are privacy issues with that, and they say, oh, we just don't want people flying drones over their neighbor's property and spying on them, and, yeah, okay, but, I mean, you know, there's laws like requiring model release forms, you know, existing laws that can take care of things like that.
And the fact that most people will probably shoot them now with a shotgun, so.
That actually happened on an episode of Harry's Law.
Oh my god!
She shot down one in her backyard. I love that show. That was great. Kathy Bates. Oh, she's great.
Beautiful.
Okay, but the big issue here is law enforcement. I'm not worried about filmmakers. I'm not worried about my neighbors. I'm worried about the police coming over and trying to spy on what I'm doing without a warrant.
Yeah.
So in California, Republican Assemblyman Jeff Gorell introduced a bill requiring law enforcement to get warrants before using drone surveillance, and that they publicly announce their intent to buy and use them, not on like specific, oh, we're going to look at this guy at this time, but just to say, hey, we got drones, we're getting warrants to use them, this is what we're doing. The legislature passed it, but guess what? Governor Jerry Brown vetoed it.
Yep. Why am I not surprised by that?
Shock and awe.
Yeah, I mean, he's supposed to be this, you know, model Democrat politician who cares about rights and civil liberties and everything, not like those mean, nasty Republicans, but...
Oh, well.
And of course, I mean, also reality check, it's in California. Basically, America's version of France or Europe. I mean, come on. As soon as I saw the word Sacramento there, I thought, oh, and here comes trouble.
You know what? When I was a kid, they told me that California was going to fall into the ocean, and I'm still waiting.
Ooh. Same here.
Oh,
when's
man.
It going to happen? Can't happen soon enough for me.
Oh, man. I got some cool people that live in California, man.
Yeah, we'll get them out. We'll get out Adam and Jamie, and we'll get out all the...
Yeah, it doesn't help that I've actually researched, and apparently a fair chunk, like a huge amount of the furry fandom is unfortunately in California, which will probably explain why they tend to slant so liberal.
But I look at this, and you know what? It's just with all the stuff that's going on with the police right now, the mobilization, shooting innocent people in Walmarts, the whole stuff in Ferguson, and I wonder if this governor, Mr. Brown, could realize that you want the same type of crazy police force. You want them to have drones to watch over people. They seem to can't be even be capable of not shooting innocent people, and yet you want them to have drones as power. I don't get this. I just don't.
So Brown said, quote, "There are undoubtedly circumstances where a warrant is appropriate. The bill's exceptions, however, appear to be too narrow and could impose requirements beyond what is required by either the Fourth Amendment or the privacy provisions in the California Constitution." You know, the Constitution does not set a minimum size of government. It's a maximum. You can't go beyond this. Going below that is quite cool.
In fact, we want you to do that.
But no, they need that because they need more power and such to control.
Yeah, heaven forbid they should actually investigate.
Condescending Wonka time. Oh, so Democrats like you want even more drones, police power. Tell me more how you're the party of civil liberties.
Every day, you know, I'm drifting to that anarcho-capitalist side. I mean, it's hard to be independent and try to look at this. It's because honestly, you see people like this who are, who sees a bill that would be pretty much everyone would agree with and then just say, nope. I mean, I know. I'm not against police officers, but when they get out of control and do all these things that are doing right now, and now you have this drones, what's going on, it just does not add up. I mean, the way everything's going on right now, they didn't have any gosh doggone flash cans. I'm trying not to curse.
So it sounds like your point is basically, you know, you're trying to be nice, you know, trying to be give them the benefit of the doubt and defend them and stuff, but it's just so hard with all this crap going on, you know?
Yeah. I'm biting my tongue, man. I'm biting my tongue. Just hopefully they'll wake up and say, you know what? Maybe, just maybe we need to have some leash against the what the police say. Okay, but at least let them have a warrant before they do anything. What is wrong with the warrant? What's wrong with that? I don't get it.
You say you don't like Bitcoin? Why not? Oh, because it's not gold. No problem. Just go to coins.pagosity.tv and you'll be taken to Coinable, where you can buy gold or silver coins or bars with your bitcoins, with literally up-to-the-minute spot pricing. Now there's no reason not to jump on the Bitcoin bandwagon. Whether you're a Bitcoin miner, service operator, Bitcoin business owner, or market speculator, you can get gold and silver from reputable dealers, and Coinable has Bitcoin liquidity for fast processing of your order. Coinable even utilizes a special shipping infrastructure to ensure that your investment arrives safely at your door. And you know what? By going to coins.pagosity.tv, you won't pay a penny more, excuse me, a Satoshi more for your purchase. But you'll help this podcast. You can even sell your gold and silver for Bitcoin as well. Coinable is your Bitcoin to gold marketplace. So go to coins.pagosity.tv and start turning your Bitcoins into gold now. And now let's drop down the wishing well, this week's biggest bogon emitter. So if you follow along in the science news, you've probably heard the kerfuffle going around about how black holes don't actually exist.
Wait, what?
Yeah, and if you're wondering whether or not that's bogus, I'll save you the suspense. It is, but that hasn't stopped the news media from whipping up yet another bogus scientific controversy about it.
But I mean, this is the same news media. Didn't one of those people like in CNN thought that the missing plane went up in a black hole or something? Or
yeah, we talked about that, and that was the episode where I basically explained what a black hole is and how it works. Very quickly, if you get a star of a massive enough size, when it runs out of fuel, it can collapse to the point where it has so much gravity that it can overcome the electromagnetic force, overcome the strong force, and collapse down to a single point.
And I remember the threshold radius for that being like the Schwarzschild radius or whatever it's called. I'm good with physics, but it's been a while for me. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, but basically that's what happens. And so there was a paper released by physicist Mersini Halton, and she said that her calculations show that when you have that collapsing core, it releases enough Hawking radiation to reduce the mass of the core to the point where a conventional black hole can't form, and so it just kind of evaporates away. And Hawking radiation is the result of all around you, all in space, all the time, there are these pairs of virtual particles, and they're constantly being created. But since they're opposites, there's a particle and an antiparticle, they're attracted to each other and they annihilate each other. If that happens close to the event horizon of a black hole, one particle falls in the black hole and the other particle goes down into space. And that makes the black hole a little bit smaller, and then you have that other particle and it looks like the black hole has emitted the particle. So what she's saying is there's so much of this that the black hole ends up going down to nothing and then ends up, you know, not being a black hole anymore.
Well, unless I'm also misinterpreting that wrong, you would think reduce it by about half as opposed to 100% or whatever, but...
Well, the idea is that as a black hole gets smaller, then there's less material in it. The material in that outer part that was in the black hole can now go on. And when you keep that coming and coming and coming, black holes can eventually evaporate and then just put all their stuff in there. So apparently she's saying it kind of happens to the point where the black hole can't form at all.
And then it just disappears and such.
Despite the tremendous empirical evidence for it. And I meant to say this at the start of the article, and I'm not sure if it's good to say now, but the media is all going about how, oh, newsflash, black holes, it turns out, do not exist. Yeah, see, okay, I've said this once and I'll say it again. The first step to becoming scientifically literate is to stop watching the news. These people could not science their way out of a paper bag if their lives depended on it. For good grief.
Yeah, that's why whenever I see a science story, I turn off. I'm like,
because otherwise you'll have red marks on your forehead from all the face palming you'll be doing. So this is an article on The Skeptic's Guide to the Universe from Bob Novella, and he went out and compiled some things that some other physicists had said about this paper. And so you have theoretical physicist William Unruh, who said, quote, "The paper is nonsense. Attempts like this to show that black holes never form have a very long history, and this is only the latest. They all misunderstand Hawking radiation and assume that matter behaves in ways that are completely implausible." Then you have astrophysicist Brian Koeberlein, quote, "To say that this work proves black holes don't exist is disingenuous at best." And physicist Brian Wecht said, quote, "Nobody I know thinks this paper is correct."
Wow.
So it's just not at all being accepted by anyone.
But that doesn't stop the newspapers before. If it bleeds, it leaves. Who cares about facts and common sense?
And why do I get the impression that we're soon going to hear from folks who listen to way too much Alex Jones saying, "She was being repressed. It's your black holes really aren't true. They're an inside job," or whatever.
It's a conspiracy. I can't do a good Jesse Ventura. If I could, I wish Dave DeCott was here.
Yeah. "I've been a wrestler, I've been governor, and now I think it's time for you to come down here. I'm Jesse Ventura, and this is Conspiracy Theory." And I don't know if mine was much better, but, you know, I tried.
Work on the accent a little bit, I think it'll be good.
"I'm Jesse Ventura." No,
"I'm Jesse Ventura, and this is the worst impression of me ever." but there is an issue that this paper might have a little something to say about, even though I think it's still pretty much wrong. But there's a controversy over, can a black hole destroy information? So if something falls into the black hole, never to come out again, is that information lost? Well, when Stephen Hawking first thought up Hawking radiation, he thought, oh no, this is how it can leak out. And the idea is that when these virtual particles are created, they're entangled via quantum mechanics. So one falls in the black hole, the other goes out into space, and so that one particle carries the information with it, which is now putting it in line with the laws of thermodynamics, which say that you can never actually destroy information. The problem is, it turns out that Hawking radiation is pretty much random and contains no information at all. So
basically, if a computer or, say, a remote control or what have you falls in a black hole, it's basically gone forever.
Yeah, but you see, it sets up a little paradox, because according to general relativity, if you fall into a black hole, when you pass the event horizon, you don't notice anything. You will in a little while, because then you'll be stretched into a long strand of spaghetti, but, you know, and that probably won't feel too well. But crossing the event horizon won't really be anything you'd really notice, and you couldn't even really tell where it is. But the Hawking radiation particles disentangling themselves, which it would have to do to be as random as it is, would release a huge amount of energy. And so according to this, according to quantum mechanics, going through the event horizon of a black hole gives you a firewall and you're burned to a crisp. Now, of course, those are two mutually exclusive theories, but the firewall theory isn't really all that well accepted, and so it just might just not be true. But, you know, it's a controversy that is there that people are wanting more information about. So,
I mean, it's good to know that physics is still making good progress in the last 100 years since Einstein and them.
Oh, yeah, never stops.
Yeah.
Never stops.
Yeah, but then again, you know, you still have the sensational news media about the whole Hadron Collider and everything. It's going to make a black hole to destroy us all. And I'm like,
Ish.
First of all, even if it did, I mean, if it did, that would be amazing, because then there are all sorts of stuff we can discover. But it won't. But even if it did, it would be a tiny black hole, two particles big, and it would evaporate immediately. You know, and you wouldn't even notice it. But as far as the black holes that we do see, I mean, you can't see a black hole, but you can tell that either there's a black hole there or there's something really, really similar. Things like the supermassive black hole at the center of our galaxy and things like that. You can see the gravity. You can see how stars and matter move around it, and you can use that
gravitational lensing.
Oh, yeah, you can do gravitational lensing, too, where it bends the light around it. And you can use this to predict the mass, and if the mass is big enough, it has to be a black hole. There's accretion X-rays, where you get the accretion disk around a black hole, and it swirls in, and swirls in, and swirls in, and then it shoots out these jets in two directions. And so you can see those. There are jets that it shoots out at close to the speed of light, which is really, really difficult to do with matter because it takes a lot of energy, and you basically need the energy of a black hole to do that. The next best thing that can do that is a neutron star, but it can only get them up to about one-third the speed of light. And then, of course, you just have the fact that a black hole is black and you can't see it. You know, so you,
it's space, and it's a big black hole and void. That's another thing.
So, I mean, you put all those things together, and you see them all at once, you can be pretty sure you've got a black hole. If it's not a black hole, it's its identical twin.
Yeah. Even with all this stuff on the internet and everything right there, I guarantee you most people will still believe what the idiot box tells them.
But that's the thing. People believe the idiot box, but what about the reporters? You can just look this stuff up.
No kidding.
I mean, just do a search. You don't even have to leave your desk.
Journalism at its finest. Seems like we know where the Gamergate, gaming media got it from.
Oh, like I said, when we covered Gamergate, it's nothing specific to gaming journalism. It happens all over.
When it bleeds, it leads.
Yep. So once again, we see we just cannot rely on the news media to report the science correctly, and as a result, once again, we name the news media this week's biggest bogon emitter. Do you want answers to creationist claims against evolution? Would you like to know more about evolution yourself, or even engage creationists more directly, with actual peer-reviewed sources to back you up? My book, How Evolution is Scientific, is designed to show the basics of evolutionary theory and how it is so well supported using the scientific method. It's impeccably sourced, with references to the actual scientific material, and is arranged using the creationists' own criteria of what is scientific. Using their own arguments against them, see how evolution is scientific, but creationism is not, based on observations, accurate predictions, logic, and evidence. Get answers to common creationist claims, and even a primer on abiogenesis, the start of all life. It's all in my book, How Evolution is Scientific, available at Amazon and on Kindle, EPUB, and PDF as well. Get How Evolution is Scientific and never be taken in by creationists again. And now for a treat, our fourth Silver Kluon Award winner for 2014. We've ended up giving out this award four times a year. That's not how it's planned. That's just how it's worked out. And here it is just in October. There might be a fifth one in this year. We might break the record.
Here's hoping.
Yes.
So this time the award goes to the video card and software giant NVIDIA for the excellent work they did, which both showed off some really cool innovations they've been working on and debunked the moon landings. Not that it needed debunking. I mean, it's too...
Well, it didn't debunk the moon landing so much as it debunked the conspiracy theory that it was faked.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's again, I love this. I love how people can use easy, readable technology. And people who have played games and played this stuff, it looks like, oh my goodness, we could do stuff that looks so realistic. And I hope this eventually comes into a game and something like that, you know. Instead of the mindless type of, you know, we need to shoot things and, you know, have bad internet connections. Destiny, but again.
But like the moon landing hoax was one of the first things we did in Bogosity. It was episode 3 and we did another in episode 9 and it was like the only sequel we did. So this is near and dear to our hearts. But one of the things they did, and in episode 3, I did a bogus simulation. I just called it that. Because all I did was I was just demonstrating that if you want the stars to come, because that's what they say, why are there no stars in the sky on the moon? Well, because it's daylight. And if you open up the camera's settings to let in enough light to see the stars, you not only overexpose everything, you blow it out completely. And so I did a little simulation of that. Well, they actually simulated it for real. And it turns out even I overestimated how bright the stars were. I had them coming in a little early. And you can see the videos here at the link. I mean, they just bring it up. It's blown out. And then finally the stars come in. That's how bright it actually has to be to get the stars to show up.
And besides the point, you know, they weren't there to take pictures of the stars. They were on the moon. They want to take pictures of the moon on the moon. And they said this, and I love this quote by Pendulet. It says, Watergate is the key to all of this. If they can't fake that, how are they going to fake the moon landing?
Yeah. Watergate was known to a handful of people, and there was still a whistleblower.
Mm-hmm.
To fake the moon landings, you would have to have hundreds and hundreds of people in on it from all sorts of different fields, science, engineering, everything. You know, you couldn't do it.
Even the Soviet Union, who last I checked we were, you know, like in a Cold War with at the time. I mean, you think they wouldn't have tried to blow the whistle on that? I mean, come on.
Oh, they would have loved to have done that.
I mean, it's like moon hoaxers. Your ignorance of physics and photography and anomaly hunting based on that, it just cannot overcome the massive amount of evidence. Okay?
Yeah, yeah.
And if that one dude, Zindicator, yeah, some of that one dude, I want to say it was like maybe Gerald White or something who like couldn't do math or whatever.
That was Gerald White. He thought 150% was double.
Clearly, we're dealing with an Einstein here, physics genius. Lol.
Well, the real impressive thing that NVIDIA did, and I am just, as a graphic artist, I am just blown away by this. They dealt with the picture of the astronauts disembarking the limb, and there are several of these, and what they say is that they're coming out of the shadow side of the limb, so they should be completely black and a silhouette, and yet they're lit up like a Christmas tree. And of course, anyone who knows anything about photography will tell you that if you take, you know, a white card or something like that, you take a reflector, you know, hold it the sun bounces off of that and onto the subject and fills in the shadows, and the surface of the moon did that. Well, most of us were just satisfied with that explanation. The light was being scattered, but NVIDIA was able to simulate it perfectly in real time.
And that was amazing.
Oh, and the thing about it is scattering is so hard to do. I mean, I've been doing this stuff for over 20 years, and I kind of saw it all just progress. Before, you couldn't do scattering at all. What you did was you just made a big directional light source to kind of simulate the scattering, and then you could kind of do it a little bit. And now, I mean, and it's gotten better, and it's been the fact that we could do it, but it just took so dadgum long to render because it had to trace all these photons as they bounced all around the scene and how they bounced off things. So this is, and Mark Daly is the guy at NVIDIA who really deserves most of the kudos. Of course, it was a big team of people who worked a lot. But this was done with a new graphics architecture called Maxwell. And they say Maxwell is at the heart of their new GeForce GTX 980 and GeForce GTX 970 GPUs. The most advanced GPUs ever made. Okay, you gotta put up with their sales pitch there to do it. But man, they built this incredibly detailed picture of the moon, the astronaut, the limb. I mean, it looks like the picture. Just incredibly well done.
It is.
Honestly, I think it looks better than the picture.
It looks great.
That's true. Yeah, that's how you can tell it's CGI, because it's a little too good. But the big thing was simulating the sun's rays, and I thought this was interesting because they set it up without the scattering, and it was all black, and then they had it scatter off the surface, and then you had scatter off the surface, bounce off the limb, bounce onto Buzz Aldrin, I think is the one coming out of the limb, and they got him lit up, but oddly enough, he wasn't quite bright enough. And they were thinking, okay, there's something else here. And they were looking at the video, and the video camera was set up on the opposite side from this while it was happening. And behind Buzz Aldrin, they saw this bright light source that just blew out, you know, the camera just way overexposed. And they were like, what is that? What could that be? And they're like, oh, duh, who's taking the picture? It's Neil Armstrong with his bright white spacesuit. And so they put Armstrong in the position where he would be in his spacesuit, made the light scatter off of him, and it brightened him up the rest of the way, and it was a perfect match after that, and I was just so impressed.
Yeah, that was great. But I do love this quote. I think it's Mark Daly.
Yeah.
He says, men lost their lives as part of the Apollo project. So it bugs me when people say it was all a hoax. People risked their lives to get to the moon, which is true.
Oh, yeah. And then the were the three astronauts lost on Apollo 1 in the fire. Yeah.
Yeah. And to say that, oh, it was all fake, it's just a smack in the face. And I feel sorry for the people who do feel the moon hoax. It's just that, you know, they're like, it's too impossible. Like, they don't think it's going to happen. They think that this stuff can't happen. But it did. It happened. And it was one of the most defining moments, not only in this nation, but also in science and humanity as a whole. And it proves that we can move into this, to the next level and such. If only we can start building moon bases and such, then, you know, that'd be nice too. But
or start terraforming other planets.
Oh, one step at a time.
Yeah, I know.
Great job. Great job, Navita. Great job.
Yeah, I know whose GPU I'll be buying for my next computer.
Whew. Yeah. Yeah, well done, NVIDIA, and in particular, Mark Daly. I mean, just filling in all the pieces of the puzzle like that was just beautiful. So, guys, enjoy your shiny new silver Kluon and have fun calculating the light scatter from it. Bogosity.tv is a participant in the Amazon Services LLC Associates Program, an affiliate advertising program designed to provide the means for sites to earn advertising fees by advertising and linking to Amazon.com. Just clear your cookies and go to Amazon.bogosity.tv, or check the right-hand side of the podcast page for Amazon's best deals, including the deal of the day and limited-time lightning deals on all sorts of great products. So next time you buy online, go to Amazon.bogosity.tv. And now it's time to pull the dust over this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire!
And this week it goes to Matt K. Lewis for his article on TheWeek.com, Why the Libertarian Boom is Bad for Traditional Conservatives. Well, you know what? I agree with the title, so in case you're wondering what's wrong with that, well, he thinks it's a bad thing.
Even more fun is the subtitle, Conservatives and Libertarians Often Get Lumped Together, But We're Not the Same. Okay, that I definitely agree with.
Yeah, we're not. We're definitely not, yeah.
No, your guys aren't the same. Because at least most of libertarians, well, you know, you actually have at least some type of principles. Well, most conservatives will sell everyone out, you know, for a chance to get any type of political office and such.
And he starts off, you know, saying all sorts of things I agree with, like, quote, the major political parties have essentially co-opted libertarian-friendly positions, which is a win for the philosophy. There have been visible shifts in public opinion on a number of issues, ranging from the increasing tolerance for same-sex marriage and marijuana legalization on the one hand, to the skepticism over stimulus packages and the healthcare overhaul on the other hand, that can be interpreted as a move toward more libertarian views. And he's right. That's a good thing.
Yeah. Awesomeness.
But then he goes on to say, there are obvious differences between conservatism and libertarianism. On hot-button issues like military intervention, libertarians tend to oppose it, while many conservatives tend to favor a robust U.S. military. And immigration reform, libertarians want borders that are a whole lot more open than what conservatives prefer. And there's also the ever-present tension between freedom and virtue, between order and liberty. Oh, and he was doing so well up to that point!
And he fails at the landing.
It's one of those things, the car's almost at the finish line, then suddenly swerves into the wall.
Mm-hmm.
How do you have virtue without freedom? And how is liberty antithetical to order?
Yeah, and the bit when he said, well, we do worry that rights emphasizing rights of responsibility. Okay, and for that bit, he proved that he doesn't know what either of those words mean.
Yeah, you can't have liberty without responsibility. That's the whole point.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, quote, while not every conservative thinks these things will be the downfall of Western civilization, we do worry that emphasizing rights over responsibility, again, they're the same thing, and radical individualism over community, there's no disconnect between the two, might have unintended consequences.
Jeez. Unintended? Oh, you... Oh, my God!
Of course. I mean, you know, we have to continue to stay the course, even though the course is straining right to an iceberg. But no, we just got to keep going and keep reaching for that rainbow that's not there.
But I'm really glad you're on for this week, Charles, being our only Christian co-host on this podcast. Maybe you can kind of give a little more of a tempered view. But man, if you thought the last statement was fail, listen to this quote. Traditional conservatives believe the rise and success of Western society was not merely a lucky accident, but the result of Christian civilization.
Really?
Yeah, because we had the Industrial Revolution in the 4th century, and we had man on the moon by 900, yeah.
This is stuff like this is, you know, I am a Christian. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and all that good stuff. It's funny, because when you look in the past and see Christian civilizations did exist, but there were other civilizations, you know, that weren't endowed with Christianity, and they did pretty well for themselves. I mean, Egyptians and all this type of stuff.
Yeah, we actually owe more to the Arabs, the pre-Islam and early Islam Arabs, and of course the ancient Greeks and Indians. We owe much more to that for our modern society than we do Christianity.
They seem to co-opt a lot of other civilizations and just say, bam, that was us. Damn, that was us. No, it wasn't. It was Arabs. It was Greeks. It was all these other things that accumulated here. And I don't think we should ever be this hubris that say we are the Christian organization. It was there. No, it took a lot of hard work for not only Christians, but also Muslims, Jewish, atheists, Buddhists, a lot of people, regardless of what type, agnostics, who built this civilization up. And I feel like it's a very, very big disservice to people who were all those other faiths and beliefs who fought.
Yeah, and they actually had to oppose the Christian church and all the things they were doing to try to stop it.
Yeah, that's the irony right there. They say this is a Christian civilization, but they left because of the church, what the church was doing.
But what you were saying about co-opting is exactly what he does in this next bit, quote, libertarianism is parasitic upon Christian civilization. Libertarians take for granted the social order of our current society, but ignore the moral foundations of that social order. Libertarianism has nothing to say about morality. It's a political philosophy, not a moral philosophy. This order is the product of the accumulated moral wisdom of society, a bond that is not immune to being destroyed when we become unmoored from these traditional values.
Oh, jeez.
So, for most of humanity's history, we were just killing and raping each other until God wrote down, thou shalt not steal and thou shalt not kill, and we went, oh, really? And put a stop to it all.
Oh, wait, except that didn't happen. Yeah. Funny how that works.
The incompetence and idiocy and lack of history that is amazing with these people. It's mind-blowing. With all the technology, all these things we hear on this computer right now, and you're listening, regardless, like if you're doing this on your cell phone, you can listen right now. You can just type stuff up and find out what type of way we came from and see what type of civilizations and everything that has been built towards. And for this, to have this type of, say, Christian civilization, to say Christians did all the hard work, meanwhile everyone else, regardless they were gay, straight, atheist, agnostic, Christian, Muslim, all these other people who actually felt built this country, smacking them in the face. You just smacked them in the face.
And actually, society always progressed more, and this is one of the reasons why the Arab world made so much progress as it did in the first millennium, was that it was about everyone. It was about Christian, Muslims, Jews, atheists, everyone. They all came together. They all talked and discussed and traded information and other things. And the more you have that, the more progress you have and the more things you have, like, oh no, this is a Christian country, so you have to do things the Christian way or the Muslim way or whatever. It doesn't matter the religion, as long as you've got one philosophy that's just being imposed on everyone by force, you have stagnation.
Yeah, exactly.
As well as a group with a tremendous amount of hubris. Good Lord.
Sheesh. It wasn't the white Christian male who did everything. There was women, white women, black men, Arabs, everyone who did, like you said, Shane, everybody came together to make this country, and it just,
well, a lot of black people did it at the end of a whip. But
yeah, that part, true.
I mean, it kind of reminds me of something you've said before, Shane, on the forums, that, yeah, free minds and free markets, they go together very well.
That's what it's all about.
So I'm looking at this, the blurb at the end, introducing the guy, calling him, like, a contributing editor, and I think, so how is this, like, news? I mean, it sounds more like a blog opinion piece, like this guy's a paid blogger or something.
Yeah, pretty much like we said back in Gamergate, the line between journalism and blogging, it's getting kind of blurred.
Which I have no problem with that, but if it just say...
Well, it's getting blurred to the sign of blogging and not blurred to the sign of journalism.
Yeah, I have no fault with that. Hey, if you want to have people pay for your stuff, go right ahead. That's what your opinions. That's great. That's awesome. But do a little education. Do a little fact-finding. See, it wasn't just Christians, and it's not just, oh, well, the libertarians are going to destroy things. No, it's the incompetence of what your party is doing. Kill innocent people overseas by bombing them, or sending our troops, illnesses, and the people that come back here don't have any jobs for them, don't have any type of infrastructure, don't have anything that actually can build this country up, but to coast on the old stuff back from the 1950s and think everything was all pretty good, but actually it wasn't. It's just, I don't know.
So for the next part, and this is a line that really caught my attention, we're fighting for as much equality and freedom as we can safely preserve. We just disagree about how much is too much. And that right there proves to me that he is about as unprincipled as they come.
Yeah. Like, what freedoms don't you like? What don't you like us being able to do that poses no harm or costs onto anyone else?
Yeah. So you want to continue to say that you're for freedom, but only certain type of freedoms.
The freedom he likes, but if his ancient book written by Bronze Age goat herders and Iron Age revisionists says it's bad, well, you don't get to do that.
And it's like, folks, anyone talking about moderation of principles doesn't know what a principle is.
Yeah.
It can't be moderate, or it's not by definition a principle. It's not rocket science, people.
What's that thing Barry Goldwater said? Moderation in pursuit of principles is no virtue, or something like that?
I love this last part, too. Liberal democracy has lived off the borrowed capital of moral and religious traditions, anteing the rise of liberalism. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Just cheerleading.
We did all the hard work, and you're just living off our hard work. And
all feeling persecuted. The persecuted Christian. That makes me laugh.
It reminds me of the one graphic I saw of basically that pie chart showing the religious percentages in the USA. And basically with a little voice bubble over the Christian one, which is obviously very large, saying, help, we're being oppressed, as it's chomping down on the others, like teeth.
Yeah. I like the one where the Christian has a cross and he's beating the guy overhead. It's like, no gay marriage, and all this and that. And the guy grabs his cross and
let's be trying to be civil about this. Yeah, no, I see that.
But the guy grabs the cross and he makes to like break it over his leg and he's like, hey, don't you oppress me!
Yeah, I think I saw that at one point. That's what I was thinking of too.
That to me, right there, is just shows me that these characters don't even know how to take criticism right. Right here, you're sitting in a nice, comfortable office, I guarantee you, most of them, typing on a nice little computer. And to have someone disagree with you, and by the way, 89% of the country, how in the world are we oppressed? I still don't see this whole oppression.
Yeah, and you can't elect a politician who doesn't say he's a Christian, just about. It's happened once or twice, but usually not.
This guy really needs to read Healing Our World by Mary J. Ruard. Oh my god. I even read that as when I was in full anti-theist mode, and I went through the whole thing, and I still cherish the book to this day. It's just that good. She pretty much does a beautiful job tying both Christianity and libertarianism together beautifully, far more eloquently and more completely than this hackhole who wrote this article ever will or could.
To me, if we really are a true democracy, a true people who leaves its voice, why don't we have more representation? Why don't we have like less white people there? Why don't we have more people who are, say, atheists? Why don't we have more Jewish, Muslims, black people, disabled? Why not? Why not have more of these people in representatives? A true color face of America instead of the old white guy who just sits there for past 90 years who hasn't done anything.
But that's not how it works. That's the big lie. It's supposed to be representative, but really all it does is take whoever the dominant force is in society and just amplify their representation and marginalize everyone else.
It reminds me of your video, Shane Weather. Basically, a response to that one dude on YouTube calling you a racist. I think his name was, like, Wittig or whatever it was, but if that's true, then why is it the market does a better job in terms of representation of, like, minorities and others than those who are elected? And I remember the biggest criticism you got in that video's comments was, well, but that's politicians who are voted by the people. Okay, disregarding the fact that the game and the system is entirely rigged, but basically the comparing public and private sector representation of those things. And the problem being with that was you couldn't find those numbers for the public representation in, like, public jobs. And I remember thinking recently that, you know, doesn't that just strike you as a massive admission of failure? Like, if they really believed that they were that much better at it, they'd give you do those studies and publish those figures and say, look, see how awesome we are at hiring, like, minorities and those who are represented and repressed? So, yeah, belief in belief, anyone?
But again, people who still believe in that stuff, they don't understand history. Yes, I'm a Christian. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But when I see people like you, Mr. Mackay Lewis, who are going under the beds, under the covers, crying out, oh my God, there's more brown people out there, and we have a brown president, the world's coming to an end. No, it's your policies that will probably lead to this destruction, not because brown people might be in charge of it. Yeah.
So all that makes Matt K. Lewis this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire.
Well, that wraps up this What is the Airspeed Velocity of an Unladen Swallow edition of the Bogosity Podcast. Please visit the forums at Bogosity.tv where you can read the show notes and join the discussion on these and other subjects. This podcast is free but not free to produce, so please donate via PayPal or Bitcoin at the top of the Bogosity.tv website or down the right-hand side of the podcast page and give generously to keep this podcast going. And if you'd like to contribute to the podcast, just send a question, statement, news article, or rant to podcast@Bogosity.tv. Put it in an audio file, and if it's good enough, it'll get played right in the podcast. Thank you for listening, and thanks again to Travis Retriever and Charles Thomas for joining me.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you, Shane.
Until next time, here's a quote from Carl Sagan. Human history can be viewed as a slowly dawning awareness that we are members of a larger group. Initially, our loyalties were to ourselves and our immediate family, next to bands of wandering hunter-gatherers, then to tribes, small settlements, city-states, nations. We have broadened the circle of those we love. If we are to survive, our loyalties must be broadened further to include the whole human community, the entire planet Earth. Many of those who run the nations will find this idea unpleasant. They will fear the loss of power. The Bogosity Podcast is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Imported License.
Bogosity.
Christmas time is coming, and the most classic of Christmas stories is A Christmas Carol. But how much do you know about the original Charles Dickens novella? Have you dismissed it as a children's book with one-dimensional characters amounting to nothing but platitudes and clichés? Maybe your appreciation of the book was even muted by those dry, boring, annotated books they made you read in school. My book, the sarcastically annotated A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens, uses both facts and humor to present the book in a way you probably haven't seen it before. Giving praise when deserved and beratement when warranted, this book is put in the perspective of its time and shows a dimensional, multi-layered Ebenezer Scrooge from start to finish. Skepticism, history, and even economics are employed to show the book in relation to today in an easily accessible format. Appreciate the Christmas of your youth all over again. Get The Sarcastically Annotated A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens, available at Amazon and on PDF as well.
Well, I remember that old video and such, Shane. I actually made a response video to that. That was my first time actually talking to you and everything. It was like you had a Thunderfoot video, then I started subscribing and commenting. Then I said this, you know, back in the day when video responses was, you know.
Yeah, when you could actually do them.
Yeah. Yes, good job, YouTube, destroying something that most people want. And they got rid of it because, you know, no one was using it. Well, maybe if you marketed it a bit, you know.
Well, because they put it where it was hard to do, and then you'd made a video response, and instead of being prominent like it used to be, it'd be buried somewhere, and, you know.
Yeah, so down there in the midst of everything. Gosh. But anyway, it was fun.
Whew.